It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every day. Barbecue Bob and I have been riding the weather roller coaster this week. I don't know, on Tuesday, it was 70, or was that Monday? No, that was Tuesday. Wednesday, it woke up 50 degrees colder than it did the morning before, and then we're bouncing back on the weekend here again. So sure to mess up all the farmers and all the fruit trees and stuff like that. I hope it doesn't, but this kind of junk does that. I'm Barbecue Bob. He's Jop. What's cooking, baby?
Wow. That's what happens in a leap year, yeah, Conrad. Right. We were just talking about how the fact that we went through a leap day a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That fun fact, I've been researching our calendar a little bit. And only because there's a movement around the world to get away from the Julian calendar or Gregorian calendar, get back to the Julian. Apparently, we used to have like 13 months. And all this stuff that happens seems to start in Rome. And I don't know what's in Rome.
The Gregorians or the Julians?
I think it's the Vatican. They control more than most know. Used to. Anyway, they switched us over away from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian, and there's a bunch of people that want to get back to getting the calendar in sync with how the planet actually rotates. And of course, there's some people that say it's not a planet, that it's a pie. It's a disc.
You got some somebodies you've been talking with. I've never heard any of this before.
You've never seen any of the flat earthers?
Now, Chris Columbus proved that wrong, several years ago.
There's still a bunch of people beating that drum. It's like, get off it.
Well.
Anyway.
Yeah. Then we put things in space, and they can see the Earth is round, and, I guess that's my proof in that pudding.
Well, and our government, I think, has fueled a lot of that because they have not necessarily always told us the truth or shown us things the way they really were. Like maybe the moon landing. There's some wonderful films that kind of debunk what we saw as the moon landing. Like one of the guys that I thought that was pretty clever is like, how did that camera get on the moon to film the astronauts taking the first step? It's like, I never thought of that before.
It folded out from underneath. I read something on that this week.
They finally came out with a story on it?
Yeah, it folded out underneath the ladder, and they had to reverse it because it was upside down. But they actually thought of, well, how are we going to capture the first steps on the moon?
Well,
this is the Grilling Guys, okay? Yeah, just so we know.
Hey, welcome in.
Yeah.
It is fun on a leap year to talk about government conspiracies. the weather has been goofy. Really goofy.
All the spring flowers are up along my wife has a flower bed along the edge of the garage, and it's kind of protected, and it's on the east side, so the sun comes up and hits it till noon.
Yeah.
All of the bulbs and all that other stuff, they're up 8-10 inches already. That ground warmed up against the building, and bam, they all came through. It's crazy. I mean, we're still in February, albeit a leap year. Well, I guess we're in March now, but it's a month and a half early from where we should be. And what's going to happen is our poor fruit farmers up on the ridge here in West Michigan, that stuff's going to pop, and then we're going to get that freeze.
We'll see.
It's only the 1st of March, right? Or whatever the day is, the second year.
They've been making too many apples the last couple of years anyway, right, so maybe they'll have just enough now. I've gotten free apples the last couple of years because you could go out and pick them. They get done picking. They don't have room in storage. They don't have the crates for the apples, and they just leave them. And they tell the neighbors, hey, pick all you want. Yep. So my brother's one of those neighbors, and he says, hey, there's apples again. Come on up. And I picked like 9 of those giant feed sacks last year, and the deer camp deer were happy.
Yeah. Oh, you're not supposed to do that.
Hey, no. That was static. Right, yeah. And welcome back to the Grilling Guys.
Yes, it is the Grilling Guys. You want to talk about some of the venison recipes with apple
grill Bob? Grill some apples.
Yeah, right.
Believe it or not, my best girl is home. She's going to be home for a week or two.
Right.
So that's weird. Got this woman living in my house again.
Yeah. Well, it's all good, yeah. Right?
Yeah, another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
I'm back in the game. I'm back to work. Got a call from a fireplace company and said, hey, come and talk to us. And that was my business for a long time. And I kept looking for the perfect part-time retirement job and trying big box stores and all that stuff. And I didn't really care for it. So I am I'm happy to be designing and quoting and selling fireplaces and stoves. And it's wonderful.
Okay.
And we're putting
all
in
residential?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
They have grills too or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we're putting in a whole new outdoor area. So the boss man is an amazing guy. He's a CPA who ended up buying a company in Spring Lake that I used to do business with way long ago. It's called Vanderwall, and they make cement blocks and all kinds of things, and they have a beautiful hearth shop. And he bought that, and then Heritage came on the block a couple years ago. It was a friend of mine on 29th Street, and he bought that. And so he's kind of combining. He's building up a little group that is pretty incredible. The dude is, I'd say, genius level. Got an amazing life story. But anyway, I'm working with a bunch of people that are so fun. It's so nice.
Yep.
And like our main guy over in Spring Lake has a couple fishing boats, and he's on the water two nights a week. So I have a new best friend.
So we might get a fishing recipe for salmon this summer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dude has buckets of knowledge.
But, very cool.
Since I am back in the game, I'm working the home show this weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a big endeavor.
It is.
I used to do that when we had our kitchen and bath store, and it's a long day, man.
We were talking about you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because one of the guys I work with is putting a new kitchen in, and he's looking at this and that, and I told him all about when you were at Standard and how you hooked me up with all those nice cabinets. So I had to show him the pictures, of course. But this group is so big that I only have to work the show one day.
Well, there you go.
That's weird.
No, Bob, that's what they told you. They just don't want you there more than one day.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. You're the new guy. What do you know? No, you know a lot. And
well,
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Years ago, when I was peddling fireplaces and furnace wholesale for Williams Distributing, we used to set up in the Eastbrook Mall. Do you remember that, Conrad?
Boy, that is years ago.
That's I started here in the late 80s, so
yeah.
That comes in pretty
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in the 90s, we would, one of the home shows, I think it's the
Grilling
Home
Guys
Builders,
History Lesson. Now.
Home Builders Association, I think, did that one. And we'd set up our furnaces, because I was selling a man of furnaces, in the Eastbrook Mall. And then our dealers would take one day, and that was their booth for the day. We spoiled them. And I was there every day. I set it up, tore it down, and I was there every day. So working one day, DeVos, piece of cake.
Yeah, that's this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going on right now.
So you're going to work today or tomorrow?
Today.
Oh, okay. Good. Well,
on my way in after this.
Park underneath. That's my secret for you. Very expensive to park downtown, but if you park underneath, all you do is come up the elevator and you're at DeVos. So,
right, you're in the building.
Yeah.
Not my first rodeo.
That's not cheap either, but you know what? You're right. Parking downtown is not cheap. So.
Well, now they have a parking lot and a shuttle. So
Now
you can get away for two or $3. You're there.
Right, so. They run you around. But anyway.
Chop, I thought since St. Patrick's Day was coming up, we ought to start looking ahead of time on corned beef and maybe what people need to know about.
Yeah. All right. We can do that. You want to do that this week?
I'd like to suggest you guys do the show drunk. I think that would really.
We did that once.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time. It's been a while, but it wouldn't be the first time that we've done that.
Well, you have like a state police officer in here, and he takes you out and has you drive or something afterwards?
No, we're more responsible now, Conrad.
Right. You know what it is,
Bob?
It's the production company we keep. Right? We used to be wild guys till we got in the year, and Conrad just tethered us right
down.
Yeah,
the Boy Scout here, Mr. Sobriety.
Don't put up with any of this stuff.
Right.
Hey, isn't it time to take a break?
Yeah, it probably is. And I tell you what, we'll cover a little bit of that St. Patrick's Day. That's the middle of March when that happens, and we're in the first week, so that'll give you a little time to prepare. You are listening to Grilling Guys, not the History Channel. and we'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and
welcome
John,
back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. We're actually going to get to some grilling. If you listen to the first segment, we were kind of rabbit-holing. So we'll come out.
It's all a conspiracy.
And we're going to talk a little bit about St. Paddy's Day. This is... last year, I spent it in Kentucky doing the Bourbon Trail. Went down there, but this year, that's not going to be the plan. I'm going to be in Dallas at the same brother-in-law, my nephew's wedding. But so I don't know what Dallas is going to do for St. Patrick's Day. Louisville did it up.
I bet.
But there's street
festivals. Just another reason to drink bourbon.
Well, there you are. There you are. But it doesn't appear that I'm going to be cooking for St. Paddy's Day either week. Or either year, last year or this year, because of my travels. But anyway, when you do, Bob, can you tell me what corning a brisket means? Why it becomes corned beef?
Funny you should ask. This is not a conspiracy.
Okay.
So it's amazing how many people fall in love with corned beef for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
It's the only time they ever buy it.
Right.
Unless they have a favorite deli, you know, like the Schnitz or something that they get great sandwiches from, or if they live in... you know, a city where there are a bunch of delis like Chicago, New York, Detroit. But this time of year, you'll notice the meat counters filling up with corned beef. And that is the flat of a brisket. And it's a good use for the flat because the flat's kind of a basic, I don't know, it's the part of the brisket that a lot of people screw up and that's why they think they can't make a brisket.
Right. Well, they screw it up by overcooking it.
Yeah.
But back to the question, what does corning mean?
So just like with venison, with like any kind of a meat, when you corn it, you're really pickling it to a certain extent without the vinegar.
Okay.
So, you know, this recipe we've used here for years is something from, I think, Better Homes and Garden or somewhere, but it's a good one. I tried it a couple times. I don't necessarily need the extra work. Now, I don't mind brining certain things, but like I love to do pork belly and make bacon. But for a corned beef brisket, I think you can buy them that are pretty darn good. And they're already done. You just basically throw it in a slow cooker or whatever you're going to cook it in and get it done. But basically what you've got is pickling spices, sugar, kosher salt, and pink curing salt, which is called Instacure.
You have to be really careful with that, don't you? Or is that not the nitrate that...
It's got nitrates in it, yeah, just like every piece of bacon you eat.
Right.
Unless it says uncured, which is boring.
Yeah.
Nitrates, nitrites, there's one way or the other. Instacure or another brand, basically the same substance.
You make a solution out of this and look for the recipe online if you don't have one already, right?
Yep.
And then you put it in this solution and you cure it
What you're going to do is you're going to boil some water and you're going to add these ingredients to the water and then boil it to get them all to activate. And then you're going to let the water cool down, put some ice in it, put it in the fridge, whatever. And then you're going to put your flat in that for 12 hours. Maybe 12 hours is probably good enough. The stuff you buy in the package has been in there for like weeks, so I don't know how long you can leave it in. I can say that doing it yourself, if you limit the amount of brine time you put in it, I think it turns out a better tasting corned beef.
Mm-hmm. So the purpose of the brine.
It's St. Patrick's Day, so everybody's drinking. Right. Who cares?
The purpose of the brine is to tenderize the meat because a brisket is a big working muscle right in the chest of the animal. And so that's very, can be tough. But if you brine it, or when we're cooking beef briskets, we don't brine them. We take them fresh, but we cook them very slow. And that breaks down the toughness of the meat if you cook it slow to give it time to cook and cook thoroughly.
Well, in the brining process, you're dissolving the sugars, and the sugars actually also tenderize the meat. There are fruits with extra agents like kiwi and stuff like that that will tenderize as well, but I don't think the people in New Zealand do a lot of corned beef.
Right. So you go to the big box store, you're going to get a one that was processed in a factory somewhere. You go over to Sobeys, and you're going to get yourself a wonderful flat that is, you know, cut by the butcher, trimmed, ready to go. You're going to pay a little bit more, but there's no substitute for quality there. And then just brine it up for a few hours, and then
I'd say if you did that as you're suggesting, I'd say I'm probably going to lean towards 24 hours. I said 12 because that's a minimum, but this brine, we'll post this. This brine is so safe. You can go 12, 24, 48 hours on it, and you're not going to hurt anything. The thing that makes the big difference in is what are you adding for your botanicals? Are you putting mustard seed? Are you putting aromatics in there? Rosemary, thyme, anything like that. There's some wonderful things you can add to it, and I'd say mustard seed is a biggie that your pickling spices will have some in it, but I find mustard seeds to be just fantastic in terms of profile.
They do with beef, especially
with anything. Yeah. I find myself using them a ton, and I buy them because I like to make pickles in the fall. So I always have a ton of extra mustard seeds. And,
You growing it out back this year?
No.
No?
No.
Not going to do that?
No, I'm probably putting tobacco plants in.
Are you? Yeah. Roll your own. Here we go.
Put them right by the grapevines.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to have a little mafia back there.
Yeah, exactly. But so corned beef, then a lot of people cook that in like a pressure cooker. Or something of that nature.
Instapots are the rage.
Yeah, I just prefer to put mine on a smoker, whether it's brined already from the store or if I do it. I just heat mine through in the smoker. You know, bring it up to about 205, 210.
Corned beef, you do?
Yeah,
you smoke it.
Yeah, yep.
Then you have pastrami.
Well, I have smoked corned beef, so if you call that pastrami, then yeah, that's what I have.
It's in that family.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's just I like a little smoke on it. It gives it another little profile. I use that hickory that I still. You know what? Yeah. You need to knock another tree down.
I just did.
Okay,
because yeah,
I need some more discs.
I wish you were there to help me pick it all up.
Yeah, right. Well, I might come out with a chainsaw and make myself a box of it again because I'm about 2/3 done.
Oh,
and, I need some more.
Got a whole bunch.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I've got some hickory logs in the mill right now, so I'm gonna have some. That is one of the prettiest woods in the world, and I just love the boards.
Yeah,
I gave you some.
You did. Yeah. I made my outside bar top out of it,
and that's
then
gorgeous.
And it's super durable, super hard.
Oh yeah,
and super durable. So it made a great outdoor kitchen where my grills are. People are like, you put a wood deck on or a wood top on your grill station. I'm like, absolutely. It's sealed. It looks wonderful, and it's all part of that natural barn look I got going out there with all that tin. But anyway,
tin roof.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about next, Bob?
I think I want to just walk people through. I don't know if we did this last year, but I'd like to walk people through how to use our site and how to work with it.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about thegrillingguys.com. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. At some point, we're going to talk about grilling today, but maybe not now. So
overrated.
Overrated. Way overrated. Bob, you were talking about our website is probably due for a little overhaul, but there is a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's old.
So, yeah, it's old and it's tired. And if you're listening and you got web skills, we'd like to talk to you. No, I'm kidding. Chaz Thompson, Baritone of Beer, he's been on the show many times. He helps us with it, but it's a function of our lack of attention a little bit,
yeah.
But there is a lot of, every show we've ever done is on there, right?
Yeah, and like over 13 years worth, and the, of course, how we do this is as we're recording the show, or as we're doing the show, we're usually running we used to say a tape, but it's MP3, so we're doing digital recording of the show, and then Chaz loads it up after the show. He loads it up on our website, and it's a post. So our website's what you'd call a blog. It's a WordPress site, right? And WordPress is for blogs and blog-ish types of internet use. And so to keep it updated and refreshed, you have to keep buying these new templates. And every time we change a template, it screws up some of the old stuff that was on there. So it is not where I would prefer it. As a former web guy, I would prefer it be better than it is. But you can at least go onto it and look at it. I'm going to do a post to refresh some of the stuff next week and get some of the cool old stuff that used to show all the time. Like we have a gallery of photos on there from celebrities that have been on the show, events we've done, listeners send stuff in, and it's not so easy to find right now, so I'm going to try and pull that up to the surface again. But basically, it's a WordPress site. It's a blog. So when you click on it, you'll notice that there are these square patterns that would typically be a what you call a post. And we don't blog it. So all you spammers out there that keep sending me these annoying messages about how you want to do this and that with us, stop. It's just to hold our MP3 files. And the MP3 is the recording of the show. So like this afternoon, you'll go on there and you'll see that it'll say March 2nd, 2024. And then you click on it and it'll open up and you'll see four or five different segments. And those are the different segments of the show. So let's say your buddy was on the show last week or the week before. You can go on that show. You can click on that segment and you can hear, who is it, T. Gidd or Jeff Foxworthy or whoever is you're looking for to say, oh, I want to listen to that segment again. You can click on it and it'll play off your computer. If you don't do that, and if you say, well, I don't like using my desktop or my laptop, what we'll do is if you look at that site, you can go to the top right corner and you'll see a headset. I think it's Conrad's headset because they're very expensive.
Big too.
And you click on the headset and it'll say podcast, send this to your show, send this to your app, whatever. You follow the instructions and it'll send it right to your phone. It's really easy. Or if you have an Apple, which I use Apple products, you can simply go to the Apple Podcast app, open it up, and in the search bar just put in The Grillin' Guys and our beautiful logo will come up and you click on that and hit follow, and bang, we're sending you every show.
Right.
And it's
remember
convenient.
To put, it's The Grillin' Guys and one G in the middle, G-R-I-L-L-I-N-G-U-I-S.
Yeah, it might show you a few different potential false
right.
flags.
But you got to have the on the front of it, too, because that's just our handle.
But Apple yeah. knows us very, very well, so if you come anywhere close, of the different things it'll send at you. You'll see our logo, and our logo, thanks to Palazzolo Studios, our logo is absolutely world-class. And when you see that big Grilling Guys logo, click on it, and you're there. So that's another thing we have. We also have 13 years worth of recipes.
Right.
You go to that search bar, and let's say you want to make something on your grill. This is why I wanted to cover this, Jop, is because I don't think our listeners actually know how much they can pull off that site. Because you know as well as anybody, sometimes somebody's going to come over and you know what they're bringing, and you're going, well, what am I going to do? Because you get tired of just brining chicken or marinating chicken in Italian dressing, right? Let's say you want to do something cool. So go up to that search bar and put in chicken. You're going to get, I bet you, 20 pages with posts that say chicken. And you start thumbing through those and you go, oh, no, that's weird. Oh, that one's cool. Let's say olive burger comes up. Well, gee, I haven't had an olive burger. Let's do it this way. Especially in the chicken section. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Depending on what you put in. Let's say you put in brisket. You're going to have all kinds of posts on brisket. You might even see corned beef pop up 10 times. So that search,
or Dutch oven.
So that search bar is going to actually be a real great tool for you if you're stuck. And, I mean, if you're listening to this show, it's because you're a food fanatic or you just got unlucky. But if you're a food fanatic and you want to really do something special for your guests, or maybe this, maybe you just want to show off.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Looking at you, Jop.
Right. Well, I've been known to show off once in a while. We have a little bit of fun with that every now and then.
So that's why that search bar is so handy, because maybe you're stuck, you're under pressure. The wife says, oh, so-and-so's coming over. And you're like, man, a fix here.
Yeah.
Really tight spot.
Well, they won't be so bad this summer. My wife's back to work. And when she took the summer off last year, there was 3 or 4 nights a week where I come rolling in and that happened. People were at, you got a pool, I got a pool, and people were there. And it's like, well, what are you cooking us tonight, Jop? Right? So you need recipes.
And if you're coming to the pool, please bring your dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So the other thing is there's a treasure trove of photos on there, and I'm gonna refresh that this week, I promise. And I'm going to get some of those cool old photos resurfaced, because we've done a lot of cool events. So one of them pops up in my memories once in a while, and it's when we had Name the Pig contest. We should do that again. That was such a success. And the winner who named the pig got to actually eat the pig, and Jop went over to their house. I showed up just because I had conflict, but to get my butt out of it, I brought Michelle McCormick with me so she could stay and I could leave. Anyway, cool memories like that. The Grilling Guys has some depth. We got some history.
Yeah.
You'll see broadcasts with Kevin Matthews. Some of the original ones I did was me and Kev. And he's not in the greatest of health these days, but he's a legend, radio legend.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had a few legends on this show.
Sure.
Someday we'll be legends.
Well, then when we retire.
We've got to look at our producer.
Right.
Talk about legends.
Well, you know, we have upgraded along those way, but, you know, I shouldn't say too much, though, because we have Fonger, and he's got his own show now on LAV. Yeah, so
he was good.
He went from producer to on-air talent. Great sports guy. Play-by-play call.
Wonderful kid.
Yeah. He's not a kid anymore. I think the guy's in mid-30s now, but married and got a
still
family.
A kid.
Yeah, he's a good dude. But that's Fongs. If you're listening, he probably isn't because he's busy. You know, he's a radio star, but... Yeah. Anyway, he was part of our hat.
Well,
past.
Conrad brought up a great conversation. You were talking. What was that you asked us?
Well, we did a thing this week. You were talking about wings and whether people picked drums or flats. You know, when you go to wings and you had Jop down at the Moose Lodge this week.
I was there Wednesday night with Chaz, and I'm my wife is the drum and I'm the flat. I prefer the flat.
Now, let's clear this up. Is it really the moose or is it the water buffaloes?
No, it's the moose. There's no poobah. There is no poobah. So it was Wednesday night, wings and strings.
So when we were kids or when we were, you know, growing up, wings were the whole, there were three pieces. You had the little nub on the end, you had the flat, and you had
a flipper.
The flipper and the drum. And what they did is they divided it up to make more
money.
They
actually served the flipper?
Because it used to be junk.
It is junk. Nobody ate. You give it to your cat.
Right. Well, the flipper you do, yeah. But I mean, the whole wing used to be junk. And now it's like the highest demand part of the bird.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it was three pieces to it. And now it's two, you know.
Because they're broken up.
They learned how to make.
I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break on the grilling guys, and we will be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. St. Paddy's Day is coming up. We covered a little bit of corned beef brisket. Whether you boil it, whether you pressure cook it, whether you smoke it, you got to do it. It's that time of year, but... We're bouncing all over today, and thanks for riding along.
This is a cleanup show.
Right, yeah, right.
What didn't we cover in the last month?
Right, we don't clean up like this very often. So
we should, though, because it seems like we pass over some nuggets from time to time that, you know, I personally do a decent amount of work to try and find, and then they drift off to the side.
Yeah, well.
So it's kind of nice to have... Be able to use
chicken nuggets
use
are
that
good.
Work.
We talked about those.
Don't get me going.
Anyway, what else you got, man? You got minestrone?
Well, yeah. You know, we've had a lot of sick people lately. People getting the crud and all this stuff. I mean, kids, grandkids, my wife.
You got temperatures changing 50 degrees in one day. That'll lock your sinuses down good.
Well, right. We've had a bunch of. I haven't gotten anything, but. There's a lot of reasons for these things, but the consequences are people get sick, and you want to try and give them some nourishment that's good. And when I hear people are sick, I immediately revert back to what my mother used to do, and she'd always make soup. And when you're sick, having a nice warm cup of broth of some sort is just, it's like soul food. It's healing. It's so good for you. So my daughter, Maggie, and her family were all getting colds, basically. And I felt kind of bad. My wife was gone, and I wanted to do something. And then the other side of town in East Town, Jordan and his family were all getting sick. And it's like, so I'm like running back and forth between two houses trying to bring food. Because when you're sick and you got little kids, you also don't feel like cooking. So I thought, okay, one of the things... I flipped out a menu and I said, you can have this, 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 or this. And they're all saying, no, Dad, don't worry. You're doing too much. No, I said, no, I'm going to make something. Pick. So Maggie goes, minestrone. She picked the minestrone out of the list. And it's like, good. You know why? I've never made minestrone before.
I haven't either.
Do you like it?
I don't make it that often. I don't dislike it. It's not something that I make very often.
But you know who used to do a great job with it? Who would you say does a great minestrone, Conrad?
I don't know.
Olive Garden?
No, I steer away from national chains.
But when they came out, that was the, for us as a young family, that was the place to bring your kids.
Yeah.
Because you could get a soup and salad for like, I don't know, it was like $6 or $7, and all the breadsticks you can eat, and all this, they keep bringing soups to you. And they had the pasta fagioli, which was really good. It was like an Italian chili with noodles. And they had minestrone, which was really a good minestrone. And I believe that was a Pillsbury company that owned them at the time. But it was a successful chain. I don't know that they're even around.
The free bread from the Doughboy.
Yeah. So, anyway, I wanted to make some minestrone. Never made it. And I had to do a deep dive on it and say, what's really in it? And like I do with any recipe, I steal from those who have already perfected it.
Right. So no originals, right?
Well,
you can take one and doctor it a little bit.
See, I'd prefer, you know, Pietro's or Salvatore's, you know, something like that. Salvatore's.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just going down memory lane to 20, 30 years ago as to maybe the first time I ever heard of minestrone. We're Northern Europeans. We're not Italians. That wasn't in our vernacular.
Or vocabulary.
Vernacular.
As it may be.
Yeah. So I started doing a deep dive on it, and I stole from this, stole from that, and I came up with my version of the way I remembered a good cup of minestrone to be. And it's posted on the Grilling Guys, but... And in honor of my daughter Maggie, I used red onion because she loves red onion, carrots, celery. And here was a cool thing I had never tried with soup. The one called, and most of them called for pancetta.
That's like Italian, really thin shaved ham.
No,
cured
it's
ham.
Really thick cut chopped bacon.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So, and you have to. So. Uh-huh. So it made me kind of sick to think about throwing that in a soup. So then I looked at another recipe and it said, if you want, you can brown the pancetta before you put it. It's like, good, because I already bought it and I don't want to throw these chunks of bacon in a soup. It's going to, you know, texture is going to be weird. So I did that and I browned the pancetta. And it calls for pumpkin squash, butternut squash, all these things. And you're only going to use a cup and a half, right? And it's like, I'm not going to buy a whole big squash because I'm not a squash freak. But my wife, I did roast a bunch of pumpkins this year, and she processed all that pumpkin into jars.
Chunks of it or pureed?
I baked it, and then she processed it in a food processor and canned it. So I dumped in a jar of that pumpkin sauce, and it doesn't have any pie spice in it. It's just pumpkin. So it's a puree.
That had to make your soup consistency pretty different. Isn't minestrone usually a broth-based soup?
And that's what these recipes were asking for, the squash force, because to thicken it. So I'm telling you, the profiles came out beautiful. And this is all a timing thing. So I sauteed the onions, threw in the carrots and potatoes, and... more tomatoes than any of the recipes asked for because I just felt like it needed it. And so I got all that going, and I cooked it to the point to where the pancetta had enriched the broth and the pumpkin was doing its thing. And then I started dumping in a few fresh vegetables. Like, it calls for Savoy cabbage. I had never even heard of it, let alone bought one.
Right. I'm back to what the thing is that the pumpkin's doing. You said the pumpkin was doing its thing, so.
Yeah. Because the squash, they're calling for squash.
Well, pumpkin is a squash.
Yeah.
Right. So what was it? What is its thing? It was thickening? Is that?
It adds to the profile.
Okay.
These are all, you're building flavor profiles, and the squash is part of it, and it does thicken it a little bit. I only put in 16 ounces, so it wasn't like, you know, I turned it into paste. It was makes it a little bit gravy-ish maybe or something, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, so I added the cabbage, and then I put in some of the leaves from the celery, and I put in, at the last minute, some lentils, because they were already in a can, they were cooked, so I didn't want them to get mushy, and I threw a couple sprigs of rosemary on top, and I just shut it off and parked it.
No pasta?
No.
No pasta in it.
I did the pasta on the side.
Oh, okay.
And because my daughter can't have, She's intolerant to
pasta.
You know, wheat germ. What do you call it when they're
wheat germ?
Gluten.
Gluten. Yeah, she doesn't react so well to gluten. So I bought a bunch of these gluten-free noodles and I cooked them up separate. And I did the kitchen trick where you put oil on them and put them in a bag and got them ready. So I said, you can add these noodles at the last minute, because when you have a nice soup like this and you're going to reheat it, if you put the pasta in too early, it's going to just swell up and it's not going to be pasta. It's going to be like the gelatinous mess I'm trying to avoid. So I brought all those noodles in on the side, and my granddaughter heated the soup up and the noodles and served her sick mother. It was so cute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, what are microwaves for?
So with, well, I brought it in a great big pot. So yeah. So a little tip there, when you do pasta in anything, you don't want to add it necessarily if you're going to store it. And these chefs online will tell you the same thing. If you're making a big batch of it, don't add your pasta.
Yep.
Because they've already ruined many batches.
There you go. That's how it works. Well, that's minestrone. That's the longest minestrone explanation I've heard. We used a whole segment for that. That's awesome.
Well, it's technique.
Yeah.
And you're putting these things in stages so that the vegetables, like the cabbage and these
things.
Don't
you have little potatoes in those, too?
Yes, there's potatoes. Yep.
In there?
It's all in the potatoes, carrots, celery, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, it seems like the minestrone. Is there any meat in it?
Pancetta.
Just that?
Well, no, I added actually some. That's another conversation.
Oh, geez.
For a different show,
right? Yeah. Guess what? If you listen next week, we'll continue the minestrone conversation.
Oh,
probably not.
Man.
But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. It is the Grilling Guys. We didn't grill much today, but you know what? Sometimes that doesn't happen. We just talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. So. Go to our website, thegrillingguys.com. Lots of recipes, all the old shows.
You can learn how to make minestrone.
Right, yeah, it's right there. Believe it or not, if you couldn't write all that down in the dust on your dash, then go to the website and get it.
See ya.